You're listening to Nick Luck Daily, bringing you the latest news and the best interviews from around the world of horse racing. Brought to you in association with Fitzdares, the world's finest bookmaker, the Racehorse Owners Association, and Thoroughbred Racing Commentary. To celebrate the launch of Nick Luck Daily, Fitzdares have a special sign-up offer that will double your winnings on your first bet up to a £50 stake. Just go to www.fitzdares.com/luck to sign up. Hi there, welcome to the show, bringing you the latest news and sharpest insight from around the racing world every weekday. It's Tuesday, September the 29th. It's bright and early. Well, a little too early today, in all honesty, for me. And thank you very much for listening. We are on episode 65. And for all the first 64 have tried to chart all our challenges, and there have been plenty, and we'll be getting into a bit of that later, I really hope we've celebrated genuine sporting excellence along the way just as much. Because there's been so much to enjoy for the connoisseur of the top-class thoroughbred, even in difficult circumstances. Whether you're in America with Tis the Law and Improbable, in Australia with the brilliant Russian Camelot, Golden 60 looking the business in Hong Kong, and those stars in Europe, Gayath, Enable and Love, and those last two plus 20 more are among the latest forfeit, yesterday's forfeit, for Sunday's Qatar Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe, the world's most prestigious all-age turf race. Only a smattering of folk will be there to see more than a smattering of the world's best. But could the elements just get in the way? You don't have to be auditioning for a part on the Weather Channel to know that it's going to hose it down on the Bois de Boulogne this week. Paris-Longchamp will be knee-deep, and no one much likes the idea, least of all connections of Enable and to an even greater extent Love, who's really unproven on ground that soft. Dave Yates, newsboy from the Daily Mirror, is alongside me. David, is the rain going to ruin the Arc de Triomphe?
I certainly don't think it's going to ruin it. The forecasters do suggest that it's going to come in torrents. I spoke to Mathieu Vincent, who's the clerk of the course at Paris-Longchamp, on Sunday, and he said that the forecast, I think Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, was very bad. He said soft or more, and then he said soft or the start of heavy. But isn't that just what makes turf racing interesting? You know, we know that the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe in any normal year, as it is indeed this year, is run on the first Sunday of October, and that can mean any sort of weather. You can have a quick ground, as I remember Sindar's race in 2000, it was fast ground that day, or you can have a bog, as we had last year. The thing I like about this, Nick, is that I think it's fundamentally quite boring to nail a race like the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe down as a match between Enable and Love, and what this does is it opens it up a bit, doesn't it? Stradivarius is a horse that you've been pretty keen on for this race for a few weeks. I haven't at all, but I am now, because obviously he's proven on soft ground, and this would bring his stamina into play. Sotsas has been backed. Serpentine has yet to be supplemented, but I think will be. That's another possible. And also, Huey Morrison has been grinning from ear to ear over the prospects of Telecaster, who he says will be very well suited by the the conditions that will prevail on Sunday. So I think it makes it a more interesting race. Yes, it's no longer the match, or at least according to the betting, there have been fluctuations today, but I think that's for the good of the race. And it is October after all.
Do you think Aidan O'Brien will definitely run Love if the ground comes up heavy?
I think he probably will. I know there have been whispers today that maybe Love might not run, but certainly yesterday, I spoke to him on Sunday, and he didn't give any indication that Love might not run. He did say after she'd won the Yorkshire Oaks that he actually said the word stinking ground, which is a very un-Aidan-like word. But he said that in the event of stinking ground, I think he said that would give rise to big discussions, obviously, as to whether she would take her chance. But Coolmore are a pretty traditional outfit when it comes to the big races. They love the Arc. This year, they're going to run, if they can, five horses in it. And so does the Champion Stakes have anything like the cachet that the Arc does For the lads, I don't think it does at all. And of course, there's no guarantee that you won't get stinking ground at Ascot a fortnight on Saturday. So I would be very surprised if she weren't to run here. You know, it's the obvious end of season target for her. And, you know, she comes here on the back of three Group One wins, two classics. I think it'd be a great shame if she didn't run. I think she will.
Well, Dave then mentioned the victory of Sindar in the Arc de Triomphe in 2000. And I've been catching up with Sindar's rider, Johnny Murta, in his glittering career. And he's now forging a similarly successful one as a trainer. He, in fact, only rode one Arc winner. And I began by pointing out to him that had he not done so on Sindar that lovely autumn day in October of Millennium Year, it would have left a pretty gaping hole in his CV.
Yes, you would. It's a race you love to have on your CV. It's the biggest race in Europe at the end of the season. All the champions line up. Three-year-old colts, three-year-old fillies, older horses, German, French, English, Irish, Japanese. They're all there. It's a race of champions. And, you know, to come out on top of it, I can still remember as if it was yesterday. It was a great feeling. It was a great day for me personally, but to win the Arc was, you know, as you said, if it wasn't on your CV, you know, it would be missing.
Talk me through that race that day. To my distant-ish memory, it seems as though he won pretty easily.
He did, yeah. Well, we had a pacemaker in the race called Ray Poor, who we ran 3 weeks beforehand in Niel. And Niel went very smooth, went nice pace, he quickened up well. I think he won the Niel by 8 lengths. So we knew leaving Longchamp that day we had a real contender. He improved in his work. His work before the Arc was very good. In the Arc itself, Ray Poor missed the start a little bit, and I jumped and I was leading for the first 150 yards. Then Niall McCullough got Ray Poor up into his stride. We went a good even pace. I sat second. It was pretty straightforward, Nick. I got inside the three. I asked him to quicken up. And listen, he was a very, very easy, very impressive winner of the biggest race in Europe. It was very smooth, bar for the first 150 yards when I didn't see Ray Poor.
And this year, there's the possibility of a very, very soft ground. Now, you know Longchamp extremely well. How difficult a test is that going to be for the riders this year? How mindful have they got to be of getting home in those conditions?
Yeah, and the Arc is always run at a good pace. It's always a good, strong pace because, you know, sometimes you go to Longchamp, it's a tricky track to ride. If there's only one or two English or Irish horses in the race, you race against the French. It's always tactical. They always go slow. They have a great turn of foot. If you go to the front and you go too soon, they quicken by you the last 100 yards. If you go too slow, they can out-sprint you because they're trained like that. But on Arc Day, that's all taken out of it. There's always a good pace in the Arc. It's a mile and a half. It's a big uphill climb for the first five furlongs. And then it's downhill. The fall straight is there. You know, you don't want to move too soon in the fall straight. You need a bit of luck in running there between the five furlongs and the three furlongs. It can get a bit congested with horses coming back. But it's a real test. And, you know, the ground in Longchamp, when it gets soft to heavy, it's very deep, it's very testing, and you do have to stay. And, you know, staying will be the name of the game this year.
Does it even fry your brain that Frankie's ridden in over 30 editions of this race? Because it does mine.
It does, yeah. You know, he started riding. He I think he rode his first Arc when he was 19. So, but it just shows you he's been at the top for so long, Nick. He's the flag bearer. He's ridden in 30 Arcs. Yeah, mind blowing, really. You know, I think I've rode in about 6 or 7, maybe. So, it's hard to even get a ride in that race. But that's the kind of man he is, you know, on the big day, the biggest day of the year in Europe, they want Frankie Corey riding me. So he's never going to be in the weigh room when a race like that is on.
Now, it's a big weekend for you as well, because you've supplemented your star filly Champs-Élysées for the Sun Chariot Stakes at Newmarket at the weekend. She's just been an absolute superstar for you. Can you think of a horse who's done quite so much for you, you know, in terms of being good for your soul, if you like?
No, I have to say she's unbelievable the way she has improved all year. I didn't enter in the Sun Chariot initially because I said, well, we're going to set these targets for a Group 3. If she wins the Matron, she'll earn a chance, and we don't mind spending the 20,000 because we're going to win it in the Matron if she happened to win it, which she did. So I think she deserves her chance there. She's for Fitzwilliam Racing, it's an unbelievable story, really, to be nearly sold twice, to get turned back twice, and to win the Group 3. But after she won the Group 3, we thought, you know, there's no end to where this one can go. And in all fairness to her, I think it was a very, very good performance in the Matron. All the good horses were there, and she came out on top. She has to do it again, Nick. She has to do it again. She's been training good. She came out of the race really well. Danny Sheehy, who rides her out most mornings, is very happy with her, and we're all happy with her because it's been a wonderful journey, and we just hope it can go one more time.
Johnny Murta there. And Dave, I do like playing a bit of memory lane when we've got the week of a really big race like the Derby or the Kentucky Derby or the Ark, just one of the great iconic races. And it just reminds you that you're not actually that young when you remember that Sindar was 20 years ago.
Well, if you feel that way, how do you imagine I feel hearing that? Because, yes, I was at the Racing Post just, I think, in 2000. And like you say, that was an iconic race. It was a three-year-old that we really wish the Aga Khan didn't have that policy of retiring his three-year-olds, because it had been great to have seen Sindar at four. I'm just looking at the Roll of Honour since then. After Sindar, Saki, Dalakani, Hurricane Run, Rail Link, a favourite of mine, Dylan Thomas, remember Kieran Fallon being in court the next day, See the Stars, the list goes on and on. And this Sunday's race will be just as exciting. As I say, it might not be a match now, according to the betting, but it's certainly going to be a thriller.
You've never found yourself in court the day after Art Weekend, though?
No, I haven't. Probably should have done, given the odd goings on in Paris. Not the Bois de Boulogne, I hasten to add. But no, I've managed to escape the long arm of the La Loire.
That's very good to hear. Obviously, you won't be in the Bois de Boulogne this year, nor will I, I'm sorry to say. There will be a smattering of people at the racecourse from overseas, but only a smattering. It'll be a very, very different feel to Arc Day, but at least they've got a crowd of some sort.
Yeah, they have. I mean, as you say, it's going to be, considering the momentous race it's going to be for 2020, even by the Arc standards, obviously enable the mayor who can make history, love the, well, sort of young pretender, the three-year-old filly, and all the others. It's going to be a fantastic race, but as you say, it's going to be pretty light on crowds. To my knowledge, I think Lee Motter's head of the Racing Post is going, Marcus Town into the Daily Mail, Greg Wood of the Guardian. I will make sure that I am prepared to snitch on each of those three individuals should they break quarantine upon their return from Paris, but I don't expect that any one of the three will.
But if your entreaties in your extremely impressive letter to Oliver Dowden are heard, perhaps they won't have to. Just explain what you were up to first thing Saturday morning.
Right. Well, I just thought, I've never been one on sort of direct action, people action, Nick. I've always been a bit too lazy for that. But I just thought on Saturday, I'd been planning to write something for a couple of days and put it on Twitter so that if people were minded, if they agreed with what I wrote, then they could copy the letter and just send it to Oliver Dowden themselves. I didn't email him. I wrote a letter longhand. It was pointed out that there was a repetition of that in the fourth paragraph, so I corrected that and just sent it in the post. You know, the arguments are very well known by now, 17,400 full-time jobs in racing, 300 million quid a year to the Exchequer. And what racing wants to do is pursue its own self-help course to sustain itself, to put more money back into the Exchequer. And you'd think that when the government looks at the details, then that would be, we all hope, an attractive option. I think there was a car boot sale at Chepstow this weekend, and obviously that triggered quite a bit of comment that there wasn't an awful lot of social distancing, which there would be for race courses, for race meetings. And so if I can give you, you very kindly did give a plug for my letter on Saturday morning, but I'm at the Bedford Fox on Twitter. If you were to search that and the word Dowden, you would find that, or Oliver Dowden, you'll find the letter. And if you were minded to reproduce it and send it in, then I think that it can't do any harm. It's not a rude letter. It states a case. I cleared it with Nick Rust on Saturday morning before putting it on Twitter. He was perfectly happy to endorse it privately. I don't think the BHA have done publicly, but that's fine. But if anyone does want to, then, as I say, I'm sure it can't do much harm.
Well, on a related note, or is it, Dave, the Jockey Club have announced significant job losses. 70 roles will be no longer required by the Jockey Club across their body of race courses, and that's from an overall workforce of 673. So you don't need to be a genius mathematician to work out that that's just over 10%, which is pretty significant.
It certainly is. I'd like to know how much of this restructuring would have happened before the COVID-19 pandemic, and how much of those plans have been forged during it, because obviously the trading conditions have been affected very badly by what's happened since March. One thing I would say with this, Nick, is that 10% is a massive number. You know, I've worked in the newspaper industry during the bad times, and every 2 or 3 years there is another restructure in the newspaper industry. At Reach PLC, if we've had one relatively recently too, but if somebody says, right, well, we're losing 10% of the workforce, that's a big number indeed. You know, you're normally looking at a smaller percentage than that. So whatever the reason is, and we've talked about the difficulties that have faced racecourses and racecourse groups over the last 6 months, 10% is a pretty big cut.
Well, one place where money certainly will be spent. Next week is book one of the Tattersall's yearling sale. And we're delighted to have been partnering Tattersall's with their Bloodstock bulletins over the last 3 weeks. And for a taster of what's to enjoy on here later on today, let's head over and join Gina Bryce.
This is only Hazelwood Bloodstock's fourth year in operation, but it's fair to say they have already made quite a name for themselves at Book One. And I've been to visit the operations Adrian O'Brien to find out more. Well, Adrian, we're sitting here in the beautiful sunshine at Hazelwood Bloodstock HQ. I'm delighted to catch up with you ahead of Book One, because what a year it was for your operation last year, setting a new world record for a colt, 3.6 million for the Dubawi Alina. A year on, how does that feel? How much has that success sunk in, and you've digested it now? You've seen what is now Noble Dynasty on the track.
Thank you, Gina, and you're very welcome. Just listening to you saying it, it's very difficult for it to sink in that it did happen. Quite astonishing. We've had the year to reflect, or almost a year to reflect. But still, you know, when I look back and I see it in print, or I hear somebody saying it to me, it's difficult to get my head around still.
We know that that horse has hit the track and run very respectably, finished second, first time up for Godolphin. How much of a relief is that when you see the horse hit the track, and the fact that it can put four legs in the right places and it looks like it's got an engine?
Firstly, I was delighted to see him out so early, because he didn't strike me as an obvious early type, but he ran in early June. My understanding is that he's a very, very well thought of. He ran really well that day, just ran second to a decent horse of Godolphin's also, I believe. And he looks like, well, it looks like he could be a very good horse. Thankfully, it's such a relief. It's great to sell expensive yearlings, but ultimately we want to be producing top class racehorses. And while you know there's a lot of work to be done, he's hopefully there's plenty potential.
And you'll be able to hear the full edition, episode 3 of Tattersall's Bloodstock Bulletin with Gina Bryce here a little later on today, Tuesday. And continuing the Bloodstock theme, this time in partnership with our friends at Weatherby's Global Stallion app, I've been speaking to the man who 3 months ago took over as chief executive of Al Shakab Racing, Paul Henze, to ask him about his plans for the immediate future and the stallions that the operation is now standing in France.
Yeah, so I'm with the company since July, Nick. So really, up to now, I've been just getting to know as much as I can about the operation, have a look under the bonnet and really just see how things are going. The Al Shakab is it's an operation in transition, I would say, in that, you know, prior to now, there was a strong emphasis on buying horses in training and, you know, they had some very spectacular results over the years with numerous Group 1 winners. But, you know, a lot of those horses were purchased in training, you know, the likes of Olympic Glory and Taranado, Ruler of the World. Those horses, they were all purchased, in training. And now, you know, those horses are now going to stud and they're breeding. And the operation has changed somewhat from a buying-to-race program to a breeding-to-race program. And it's managing that, I think, is my key focus at the moment, to try and join up the racing ambitions with the breeding operation.
And just a casual observer of the Global Stallion app or the Weatherby Stallion book can find the stallions that you're involved with at the moment, and they're horses that you've given half a mention to and that we know quite well. Toronado, Olympic Glory, who's got the very exciting Etonian on the ground. Toronado's had a very solid season. Shalar, who I've seen a couple of his two-year-olds in the last couple of weeks, and they're great beasts of horses.
Yes, I saw a lot of them at the sales over the last year or two, you know, at the yearling sales and the foal sales prior to that, and they're gorgeous looking horses. Shalah has made a good solid start to his career, but I was actually looking, one of the things I was looking at was the book of mares that he got, Nick, and a lot of the mares that he covered were middle distance mares and you know, slow developing mares and classic type mares. And I think, you know, there's a lot to come from Shalah. I'm delighted with what he's done to date based on the type of mares that he covered. But if you look at his progeny on the ground, he has only about 30 or 33% of those horses on the ground have actually run as of yet. So, you know, that's, I think there's a lot to come from him. You know, when you compare him to another horse that we're involved in, Maymas, who's had a fantastic first season, but, you know, he covered a different type of mare. He covered a lot more mares and, you know, he's really hit the ground running. But they're two very exciting first season sires to be involved in.
But I suppose the encouraging thing with Shalar, on one hand, on a commercial level, you'd love him to be having loads and loads of fast two-year-olds. But on another level, you want a sire to be able to be versatile enough that if he is matched with a middle distance mare, that pedigree could come through and produce you some sort of classic horse.
Yeah, and I think that's where we're going to see Shalar from next year, in that, you know, whatever he does this year, I think will be a bonus. And, you know, a lot of people saw him as very much a speed horse and a speed influence. And because of that, maybe they sent him more maybe staying mares than a first season sire would normally get. So I think that's where we're going to really see the benefit. And just speaking to the trainers around about, you know, that there's a lot of very, very nice ones, you know, both in France and in the UK. A lot of trainers hold them in high regard. You know, we have a filly ourselves with Andre Fab called Paris, who's in training with Andre Fab, and she's a gorgeous filly, so she's one to look forward to.
It's a big week for you because of your involvement in French racing, and we're building up to the Arc de Triomphe. I know Sheikh Johan will be in town, and you've got a great opportunity now to decide what the strategy is going to be as far as growth is for the next year or so. Would you envisage a lot more Al Shakab runners when the breeding operation starts to bear more fruit?
I think it will. I think as you say, I'm looking forward to meeting the Sheikh again this week. He's in France for the week, so It will be a good opportunity to discuss all these things. But I would expect that, yes, there's, you know, there's a lot of horses like to go into training. Just looking at the list, I think we've 50 homebred yearlings to go into training this year. And then we were active at the recent Deauville Arcana sale. We purchased 13 yearlings there, and hopefully we'll continue to be active at the coming sales at Goffs and at Tattersall. So, you know, between everything, I think we, you know, we should have more runners. I think, you know, there's a lot of the yearlings that are going into training will probably go in training in France, and a lot of that has to do with the fact that they're French bred and they qualify for those French premiums. Yes. But I think it is very important from a, particularly when you're in the business of making stallions and you know, getting these young horses going to have horses in training in the UK and in Ireland from a profile point of view. And I think, you know, that's something that we'll be concentrating on as well.
Paul, I really appreciate your time this morning. Best of luck in the relatively new role at Al Shakab, and looking forward to seeing the grey and maroon silks on French mainly, but British and Irish racecourses in seasons to come.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks very much, Nick. It's been a pleasure.
My thanks to Paul Henze. Interesting times ahead for Al Shakab. And don't forget, you can have a look at all their stallions, Toronado Olympic, Laurie Shalar, and others at Ara de Bucateau on the Weatherby's Global Stallion app. And just a couple of notices before Dave rejoins me to give you a tip. Please, please, if you are thinking of nominating anyone for this year's Godolphin Stud and Stable Staff Awards, finals to be held in February. I know nominations don't close until early November, but it would help us hugely this year if you could get them in soon. So I can only ask as many times as I can ask. And I would urge anybody who's in the London area to head along, if you can do, to an art exhibition opening at the Osborne Studio Gallery in London on Wednesday. Paintings by artist Clementine St. John Webster depicting the relationship between the horse and the man. And the painting entitled Early Morning on the Low Moors at Middleham has been donated to the Jessica Bethel Charitable Foundation and made into a Christmas card. Dave, you're still with me. I'm sure you'll be heading along there.
Yes, I did read about that earlier on. It's something that living in London, when you get exhibitions in the capital, I'm always keen to go along. I certainly will over the next couple of weeks.
And have you got a tip for me for today?
Yes, I have. It's in the 7:10 race at Wolverhampton, Anna of Lorraine. This horse will start favourite, I'm sure, but I'm convinced that the step back to six will suit her. She's by Dutch Art. She's out of the mare Ladyship, a three-time winner over six furlongs for the Cheveley Park Stud and Sir Michael Stout. All four outings this year have been over further. Going back to six, I think, will be the key here. Anna of Lorraine in the 7:10 race at Wolverhampton.
My thanks to Dave, my thanks to you for listening as well, particularly if you've listened to all 65 episodes to date. There'll be plenty more to come. Don't forget, if you are enjoying these podcasts and you've been great supporters so far, please do rate, review us, and to make your lives easier, just press subscribe wherever you happen to be listening, and then it'll just pop up on your device as if by magic every single morning. And you can do that on SoundCloud, Spotify, Google, iTunes, and just about everywhere else. But that was Tuesday, September the 29th. Roll on Ark Day. The rain won't stop us enjoying it. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
I'm singing in the rain. You're singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling. I'm happy again.
You've been listening to Nick Luck Daily, brought to you in association with FitzDares, the Racehorse Owners Association, and Thoroughbred Racing Commentary.